I greet you in the name of Jesus Christ, who lives and walks among us. Thanks be to God for this awesome and wonderful gift. On this second Sunday of Lent, we continue to focus on the wilderness experiences in our lives, times when we might feel alone, times when we might feel like the path before us is unknown. This past week, I was reminded that there are many different kinds of wilderness experiences, many different kinds of situations where we might feel alone or unknown. Throughout this season of Lent and Easter, we will be using stones to help us think about and remember the journey that we are all on, in one way or another. The journey that Lent and Easter invite us to think about and reflect on. Last Sunday, we all received a stone, a blank, lifeless rock that by itself held little value. And we were invited to take this stone and write our names on it, to take something of ourselves and connect it with that stone, giving it life, giving it a value that it did not have before. And like the story that Daryl shared with us about being physically lost in the wilderness, each of our stones became an invitation to remember the dark times in our lives. Times when we have been lost. Times when we have been alone. Times when we have faced the unknown. Times that may have passed for some of us. Times that may still be with some of us. And so the stone that each one of us now holds is not simply an innate mass of rock, but rather one that carries a part of us, carries a part of our identity. They are symbols of ourselves, symbols that throughout Lent and Easter will travel a journey that is different for each one of us, full of ups and full of downs. A journey that will eventually lead us to the cross of Jesus Christ. This morning we pick up our journey to the cross, both literally and figuratively. This morning, as each of us entered the sanctuary, we were invited to pick up our own stone, the one with our name on it, to take up the difficult and oftentimes weighty parts of ourselves, the parts of ourselves that perhaps we would have liked to just leave at the door. But today, as we journey a bit deeper into Lent, we bring them with us. We bring the most vulnerable parts of ourselves into this place. If there is anyone this morning who doesn't have their rock and would like one, please raise your hand at this time and an usher will bring one to you. Jeremy, up here. For most of the sermon this morning, I'm going to be talking about these rocks, and I would like it if each one of us had one with us. I invite you to hold them in your hands while we do this. We began our journey this morning with a triumphant psalm of confidence, a psalm of trust, a psalm of faith in God. On the surface, this psalm might sound like it doesn't quite fit with the more somber and reflective tones that I have just laid out. It might be a bit difficult to hear this psalm and make connections to being alone, lost, or facing the unknown. For me, the most noticeable thing about this psalm is the sense of victory that it portrays. Both the beginning and end of this psalm are explosive in how they present God's presence. The psalmist begins by saying that the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? And he ends by telling us that I believe that I shall see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And to wait for the Lord, be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. When I read these lines, I don't feel alone. I don't feel lost. And I don't feel that I'm facing the unknown. It feels great to read them. Who shall I fear? Be strong and let your heart take courage. Both the beginning and the end of this psalm present a confident and trusting reality. But it's what lies in the middle that becomes concerning. The confident and trusting words of the psalmist come from a place of distress. Between the opening and the closing of this psalm, there is some horrific scenes described. He talks about when evildoers assail him to devour his flesh. He imagines an army encamped against him and war rising up. We even see the possibility of his father and mother forsaking him, and those that bear false witness against him and breathe out violence. In between the wonderful opening and closing of this psalm is not a very comfy or nice place to be. It's horrible. It's naturally a place of fear and trembling. And yet, coupled with each one of these images, images of distress and horror, we also read about adversaries stumbling and falling. We read about a heart that shall not fear and remaining confident. And we hear about God who will take us up and that goodness will prevail. Sandwiched between the confident, trusting start and finish of this psalm are some real life issues, some real difficult places, some really hard places to be. The psalmist doesn't suggest that having confidence in God will come easy. He doesn't say that trusting God will be a walk in the park. He takes us on a journey from confidence through difficulty back to confidence again. And smack in the middle lies the source of the psalmist's confidence. It begins with verse 6. Now my head is lifted up above my enemies all around me, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. After hearing about the evildoers devouring his flesh, after armies and war and days of trouble, the psalmist returns to worship. Head lifted up, offering in God's tent a sacrifice of praise, singing melodies to the Lord. And then we hear the psalmist's prayer. Verses 7 to 11. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me and answer me. Come, my heart says, seek his face. Your face, Lord, do I seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger, you who have been my help. Do not cast me off. Do not forsake me, O God of my salvation. If my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will take me up. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path because of my enemies. I don't know that I could pray that prayer with enemies circling around me. I don't know if I could pray that prayer and listen to my heart when it reminds me to seek the Lord's face. I imagine that my response would look much different. And the plea for God not to turn away from me, not to cast me off, that prayer, that part of this prayer, feels much more honest to me. Imagining that those close to me, my father and my mother, might forsake me, feels more like what that place would feel like. And in this place of outright despair, in this place where enemies are closing in on every side, in this place where the great battle is going on inside of us, in this place of worship comes the victory, comes the confidence, comes the point. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on the level path because of my enemies. Teach me and lead me because of my enemies. because they are always right there, it seems. Because fear and being forsaken pursue me and terrorize me. Teach me and lead me in these places, Lord, because of my enemies. The psalmist takes us on a journey from confidence through difficulty into worship and back to confidence again. Worship that does not end the difficulty or do away with the enemies we all carry, but it does bring us back to a place of confidence in God, a place where we are taken up. And even though there continues to be difficulties, even though there continues to be enemies, where we can find security and safety and become confident in God once more. Last Sunday, we heard about one of Pastor Darrell's wilderness experiences, a very literal experience about being lost in a forest. We heard about how even in this place, even in the midst of his aloneness, he found himself surrounded by the wonder and fullness of God's presence. But there are many kinds of wilderness experiences, and many of them don't necessarily involve actually being lost. Sometimes we can be surrounded by people and still feel alone, lost, and unknown. When Rachel and I first decided to go to seminary, we made the decision to move to Elkhart. We wanted to be in the midst of the seminary community so we could immerse ourselves both in study and in relationship. But when we got there, what we found was something else entirely. We arrived in Elkhart and moved on to campus along with many other students. Both Rachel and I were hungry to meet new people and get involved where we could. It didn't take long until we discovered that there was a Bible study group made up of the young married couples on campus. It was made up of four couples that had begun the group the year before. As the only other married couple on campus, we spent time getting to know them, inviting them over for supper and socializing between classes. It wasn't long before one of the couples asked us if we would be interested in joining the Bible study group. Rachel and I were excited to join and asked about the details, but were told that the group needed to be consulted first, and so we waited to hear back. A week went by, then two, and we began to wonder. Finally, a different couple than the one who had invited us let us know the decision made by the group. The feeling was that they were already big enough, and adding more people would make it difficult to find somewhere to meet. Rachel and I were disappointed, but we understood. A few months later, when another young couple moved onto campus, we heard that the Bible study group had included them, and our feeling of understanding began to feel a lot more like rejection. This was the first in a string of attempts that Rachel and I made to connect at seminary. We continued to struggle and began to find out how different we really were. We were the only Canadian students at seminary, and you might not think that that's significant, but it really was. I had no idea what the Big Ten was or what March Madness was. We were the only ones that seemed to take our shoes off when we went to other people's houses. We spoke funny, we dressed a little bit funny, and we celebrated Thanksgiving funny. Being at seminary was definitely a wilderness experience for us. We were surrounded by people and still felt alone, lost and unknown. Part of my seminary studies also included an internship at a local church. Normally, these kinds of internships are planned for months in advance, but in my case, it was more of a shot in the dark. I came to seminary with a year of master's studies already, and so as part of the program, I needed to get a church and start right away. I left the arrangements up to the coordinator and just showed up on the first day. Neither Rachel or I expected to find our community there. Neither Rachel or I expected to be taken in like we were. But it was exactly in the context of worship that we were reminded about what really mattered. Worship that did not end our difficulty or do away with the struggles that we carried, but it did bring us back to a place of confidence in God, a place where we were taken up, and even though there continued to be difficulties, where we were secure and safe and confidence in God, a place that gave us the strength to keep our heads up and our sticks on the ice, as it were. A place that gave us the confidence not to let campus life become overwhelming, but keep on living and loving and laughing. A secure foundation where even though it was difficult, there were times when we stopped and realized that we had indeed been singing. This morning, I want to continue to work with the stones that you're each holding in your hands, the stones that we have brought here this morning, the symbols that each of us have in our hands right now, the hard and difficult parts of ourselves that bear our name. In a minute, I'm going to invite the ushers to come around and collect your stone. We are going to gather them up, as rough and as hard and as difficult as they are. The ushers are going to bring them forward to this place of worship, and we're going to build an altar to praise Him out of the stones that we've found here. Once the ushers have gathered up all of our stones, I've asked June to come up and arrange them on our altar. While the ushers are gathering up our stones, Scott and Kendra, I don't know where they are, right there. Scott and Kendra will lead us in our theme song for Lent and Easter, and the words will be on the screen, and I invite you to join them in the singing. During the song, I invite you to reflect on what is happening in this room. Not just reflect on what's happening to your stone, but the many stones being gathered up, the many struggles and difficulties being represented here that we are bringing before God, and the many voices being raised up in confident worship.